For millennia, humans have turned to plants to heal the sick and wounded, to ward against evil and grant magical powers. But what happens when plants themselves become conscious and turn killers? More monstrous associations link vegetation to malevolent sorcery, demonic influence, or evil and typically human-like qualities. Characteristics like extremely large size, enhanced mobility, including sentient movement, an insatiable carnivorous diet, and poisonous excretions can all make a harmless plant into a terrifying monster. The most common unifying element of terror among these so-called monstrous plants? Their ability and desire to kill humans. I'm Dr. Emily Zarka, and this is Monstrum. Poisonous plants like hemlock and belladonna are lethal to humans and have been employed as such. Given these potentially devastating consequences, some of this vegetation was associated with mystical properties, especially if they also possessed an unusual appearance. Orchids were associated with witchcraft, deadly nightshade and mandrakes with Satan. These real-world deadly plants helped inspire the folklore around their monstrous cousins, the ones that kill consciously on their own. One early example appears in the medieval period in a Natural History Encyclopedia. Published in 1491, Maidenbach's Hortus Sanitatus includes a description and illustration of the bozer tree. It was said to exude toxic fumes that caused death for miles around for any living thing, even humans. Some 250 years later, in 1783, an article appeared in the London Magazine by Dutch surgeon N.P. Forsch, who told of the existence of a strange tree, the Javanese upas. He alleged that on the island of Java, there existed a tree whose biology was so sensational, it had previously been dismissed as myth by European naturalists. According to Forsch, indigenous peoples called this plant the Bohun upas. With the permission of the government and the help of two Malayan priests, Forsch claims that he was able to observe the tree himself, from a distance of course, as not only the bark of the tree but the fumes emanating from its resin are lethal to all life. The only humans who approach the tree are condemned criminals given a chance at clemency if they can successfully harvest the poisonous secretions. The existence of Forsch and his record of the tree are still contested. Historical documents show that a surgeon named John Nichols Forsch did indeed exist and that the man lived in the East Indies. This surgeon expressed interest in writing a book about his travels, so it is possible he concocted the Bohun upas story as a publicity stunt. However, other historians attribute the London Magazine article to an anonymous source who spun the tale from scratch. Either way, there is a real tree with poisonous sap, we now call the Anitaris toxicaria, that was undoubtedly well known among inhabitants of its natural habitats. But it wasn't until sensationalized accounts like this one in the 18th century that this deadly plant was turned into a plant that killed. Many such stories weren't just tabloid fodder, but were nonetheless just as sensational. Naturalist Erasmus Darwin wrote of the Javanese upas tree and its poisonous vapor in his 1789 text, The Botanic Garden, offering the compelling image of a barren land surrounding the plant, punctuated only by the skeletons of men and animals. While not the man-eating plant trope we've come to recognize as characteristic of killer flora, these early literary appearances planted imaginative seeds that would flourish in the 19th century. As the steam engine advanced and expedited trade routes, transport of plants from one side of the globe to the other became more successful in the 19th century. Improvements in glass and steel production used to build greenhouses and the invention of the hothouse made cultivation of foreign plant species possible in previously unfit climates. Alongside this perennial privilege, plants as intruders was an increasingly dominant narrative in the 1800s. Wild and unkempt at best, or sentient and mobile in the most horrifying variations, the idea of encroaching vegetation appeared across literary genres. Fictional travel accounts increasingly featured exotic killer plants. Gothic tales and short stories of weird vegetation became popular, meaning an influx in the perception that flora could consume animal flesh, including the occasional human. This is in part due to a scientific text and another Darwin. Charles Darwin's 1875 book, Insectivorous Plants, popularized the flesh-eating plant. The vibrantly illustrated text details the naturalist's experiments with carnivorous plants, their movements, digestive processes, and favorite food sources. nature, it became apparent, supported natural monsters. And inevitably, fiction writers would expand upon their existence in dramatic ways. Fake accounts of man-eating plants emerged in publications around that same decade. Perhaps the most widely popularized of these tales was the man-eating tree of Madagascar. On April 28, 1874, the New York World published an incredible story detailing the account of Carl Lech's discovery of a tentacled, carnivorous, man-eating pitcher plant in Madagascar. He claimed the tree was worshipped by locals, secreted a hallucinogenic sap, and used vine-like tentacles to trap its victim while pointed leaves squashed them to death. More than 10 years later, in 1888, the story was revealed as a hoax. But by that time, fiction writers were filling in the gaps of imaginations, turning newspaper stories into sensational horror narratives. Take Arthur Conan Doyle's The American's Tale, a short story about a giant carnivorous Venus flytrap in Montana. Or Phil Robinson's The Man-Eating Tree, where an African man-sucking tree with beautiful golden fruit serves as a lure to grab nearby prey with its boughs before using large, vampire-like leaves to suck the blood of its victims. In Lucy H. Hooper's 1889 Carnivorine, the mad scientist trope enters into the genre with a botanist who attempts to prove an evolutionary connection between plant and animal. As a result of his experiments, the plant develops paddle-like feet, making it mobile, and a taste for human flesh, resulting in an uncontrollable killer monster. And in 1891, the horrible plant called the Devil's Snare was introduced by an American naturalist living in Nicaragua. Like a weeping willow without foliage, the thick, dark black vines appear like a mass of interlacing, thick muscular fibers. Vines that suck blood, of course. In 1894, H.G. Wells' The Flowering of the Strange Orchid tells the tale of a British orchid collector whose newest procurement from the Indies, whose buds resemble little white fingers, ends up nearly strangling him using sucker-adorned roots to drink his blood. Noticing a trend here? The plants in these narratives come from outside of Europe. Many killer plant stories from the 19th century and beyond represent the unconquered and uncontrollable natural world. Colonialism plays a role here, as writers turned passively poisonous flora into predatory man-eating beasts, painting the foreign as dangerous and terrifying as a means to affirm Western superiority. At the turn of the 20th century, plants were increasingly considered with curiosity, suspicion, and fear in both scientific texts and horror fiction. The 1920s and 30s saw a swell in monstrous plant narratives. Pulp science fiction was thriving at the time, but so were debates about teaching evolutionary theory in schools, ones that made national headlines with the Scopes trial. Fostered by the uncertainty of the Cold War and the rapidly evolving scientific discoveries of the 50s and 60s, monster plants popped up regularly on screen and in books. Speculation surrounding the potential impacts of nuclear mutation, extraterrestrial life, bioweapons, and chemical herbicides present themselves in monstrous plant narratives. In the famous The Day of the Triffids, a post-apocalyptic 1951 novel by John Wyndham, mysterious plants are a metaphor for fears of the Cold War. When a comet blinds most of the world's population, humankind becomes vulnerable to walking, stinging plants first bred by the Soviet Union during genetic experimentation and accidentally released into the world. The Triffid plants evolve to prey on humans, using the global catastrophe to dominate the planet. That same year, in the film The Thing from Another World, killer extraterrestrial plants wreak havoc on Earth. Inspired in part by growing reports of UFOs and aliens, as well as rumored accounts of Soviet forces in the Arctic, the film's plant-based alien life form is defrosted by military personnel and scientists in the North Pole. If this plot sounds familiar, that's because it is. Both this movie and 1982's The Thing were based on a 1938 novel by John W. Campbell Jr. In 1956, Invasion of the Body Snatchers would make monstrous plants more terrifying by giving them the ability to clone humans. Then The Woman Eater paid homage to the 19th century sensational man-killer plant narratives with a carnivorous tree worshipped by locals. And 1960 brought us the hapless Skid Row florist Seymour, who cultivates a bloodthirsty potted plant, hoping to use the novelty to advance his own standing with his boss and propagate his own love life. In the original 1960s version of the film, Audrey Jr. defeats and eats Seymour. Audiences of the 1986 version of Little Shop watch a more pleasant and reassuring ending, when it is instead Seymour who defeats Audrey Jr. Audrey Jr. immortalizes its victims' faces in its blooming flowers, which the historian in me can't help but interpret as a callback to the wok-wok tree. First recorded in the late 14th century Book of Surprises, the bizarre tree appears in multiple Indo-Arabian legends, where it is said to grow either human heads or full-bodied humans amongst its branches. In the 1970s and 80s, advances in bioengineering led to a flurry of dangerous flora narratives in response to anxieties about the consequences of bioengineering. Venus Flytrap returns to the premise Hooper first introduced in the 19th century, when a botanist looking to prove human life evolved from plants accidentally creates a monster. In 1985, Super Mario's piranha plants, inspired in part by the real-life invasive plant species Hydronora africana, immortalized killer plants in video games. And in 1989, the plant-based kaiju Biollante joined the Godzilla franchise. Since the 21st century, killer plants in horror and science fiction narratives have become more varied in appearance, origin, and definition. From the more obvious interpretations, creeping carnivorous vines and anthropomorphic tree stump babies, to unseen parasitic fungi that cause humans to crave flesh and psychedelic alien spores, we still have the tendency to transform nature into something frightening. The biological systems of plants are dramatically different from other life forms. Most make their own food and breathe what we exhale as waste. It is more challenging for us to draw similarities between flora than fauna. Even when we try to make comparisons, like with the mandrake, large duck orchid, or bleeding heart flowers, the analogy is never fully formed. This extreme otherness can heighten the terror when they turn monstrous, exploiting our discomfort with living beings whose very existence is so dramatically different from our own. So next time you gaze lovingly at the plant sitting serenely in the corners of your home, spilling leaves over bookcase shelves and silently swinging from macrame hammocks, remember that it is in the quietness, that seeming meekness, that the killer plant lies ready to strike. So, have you talked to your plants today? If you love the outdoors, we think you'll really enjoy the newest digital series from PBS called America Outdoors Understory. Hosted by Baratunde Thurston, the show explores our passionate yet complex relationship with the natural world. Along the way, you get to meet everyone from surfing scientists to fossil hunters. There's a link in the description. We hope you go check it out and then maybe go get some fresh air.
Rolling?
What is that?
Upas. Upas.
This one native.
Ooh. Plant. I really want a Venus flytrap as a pet.
It's like an alien spaceship.
Near.